Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Last week, we heard from a volunteer with the group No More Deaths. They provide water and supplies for people making the dangerous and illegal desert crossing into the U.S. along the border with Mexico. No More Deaths had released a report claiming Border Patrol agents routinely sabotage what the volunteers call humanitarian efforts and some agents called aiding illegal crossings. And the group also showed videos of border agents kicking over water jugs left in the desert by volunteers or defiantly pouring them out as the volunteers filmed. Well, today we speak with Stephen Passman. He's acting special operations supervisor in the Border Patrol's Tucson sector. He's been a field agent. Agent Passman, Steve, what did you think when you saw the videos? And I guess I should ask, have you ever done that?
No, I'll have to be honest with you. I've never done that. You know, we were all appalled at it.
Yeah.
The Tucson sector does not instruct any of our agents to remove, destroy, or mess with any items out there. We don't condone those actions. We have a common goal with these non-governmental organizations, and I would love to expand on that.
Well, we do want to hear about that, but as you know, members of the volunteer group No More Deaths say it does happen a lot. Those videos were pretty damning. They say it's not just bad apples. You're saying it is?
I'm saying that's not the normal here.
Yeah.
Not the norm. If any accusations are brought forward or complaints in this manner, the Tucson sector is going to thoroughly look into this and hold those agents that are responsible accountable.
So what happened to the agents in the videos?
On those videos, you know, what I can say is if I believe is the agent, one of the agents was disciplined. I believe there was a 3-day suspension. One of the agents has retired, and I believe on one of those other videos, the agent wasn't identified. But what I will tell you, you know, speaking of the videos, there is a portion on there where that is a concern to really us is the 2017 videos. You know, we found out just like everybody else found out when the videos came out. What's surprising to us is really that, you know, we've met with this organization several times over the years, really. On different topics, different issues, and unfortunately, that was never brought to our attention, and that's a concern because you know here we're looking at almost a year later, and we're just seeing this now. It makes it very difficult to try to identify you know who that agent may have been if it was an agent, mm-hmm. and try to find out what area that was, and it makes it difficult to try to pinpoint who that person was and hold that person accountable.
Well, so Alicia Dinsmore, a volunteer with the group No More Deaths, a woman we spoke with last week. She said it was more than kicking over water jugs. She said volunteers are harassed. There's threats of detention. Their vehicles are being run off the road by Border Patrol agents. Border Patrol agents in the field surveil and follow them. You're saying you're just doing your job, which is finding out who it is that's come across and might be getting help from these aid agencies. And I heard you say you want to work with the agencies. How would you work with No More Deaths?
Well, you know, we have different programs where we've worked with other organizations. We have our messaging with our rescue beacons. I'm not sure if you're familiar with our rescue beacons.
No, tell me about them.
Sure. We have 34 rescue beacons deployed between Nogales, Arizona, and Naho, Arizona, in that area. And the reason being is that it's the most desolate, harsh area of our desert here. A lot of smugglers are taking these folks out into these areas that are very dangerous. You know, they're lying to them, telling them, in essence, that it's only going to be a short walk or maybe a half day. And it's see those lights ahead, that's Phoenix. And not being not given the realities of the dangers out there and taking them onto the harsh environment. So we have these rescue beacons out there where we've developed these flyers that we pass out that's in Spanish. And it's visual pictorials there that they can see that there's no water, there's few resources, no medical. And in some areas, there's no cell phone signal. We want people to be able to identify what a rescue beacon is. It's a life-saving tool that we use out there. And we've, you know, just last year, the last fiscal year, Tucson sector alone was responsible for saving over 750 individuals here in our sector.
Because the beacon does what? They can turn it on when they're lost or starting to die for lack of water? I mean, what do they do with it?
Yes, the rescue beacon is about 30 feet high. It's similar to the, I guess, the phone towers you would find on the side of a highway. Mm. And actually, seven of these rescue beacons have satellite phones on them, because that, there is no cell phone signal out there. And it has this high-intensity blue light that's visible both during the day, during the night. It has reflective mirrors. So we want to bring attention to them so that when people get there, they'll see the box that's on there. The instructions are written in English, Spanish, and the Tohoto O'odham language, because a lot of them are on the tribal land there. And it has a pictorial guide there where it shows you the picture that if you press the button, you sit and wait, and somebody will come to render assistance.
But that somebody would be an agent who would also arrest them, presumably.
That is correct. That is correct. I won't lie to you about that. Mm-hmm. But the important thing to notice here, or to focus on really, is that you're taking that individual who's in distress out of that harmful environment, provide water. If they need further medical attention, they will get them that medical attention. If we have to call 911, we'll call 911. We'll get them there. And it's happened many, many, many times.
Yeah. Well, talk about some of the other challenges that Border Patrol agents face. We've heard you have to kind of make friends with the landowners because smugglers might be offering them money to be lookouts. What are some of the other things we might not think of?
Well, you know what? The challenges are, you know, ensuring the community understands what our mission is. And also, you know, it's not just enforcement, but you have to remember the men and women that work out here in the Border Patrol, you know, they have to wear this dual hat. We go out there in an enforcement role, yes, day after day. But when you encounter somebody in the desert that really is in harm's way or has been injured, just needs water, wants to give up, that's when you put on that other hat. And really, it's the humanitarian role we play because, you know, many times agents have given their lunch, given their water, getting them out of that environment. I understand the need to come into the United States. One of the things we also do is the messaging is folks that come come at a different time frames. And if you see the borders change drastically over the years, it's a hot topic now. And it's important for us to inform folks of how the borders change because there's more technology now, more manpower, more infrastructure. So the chances of being detained or apprehended are greater than ever before. And we want folks to know that because if they're going to come, we want them to come legally. But if they're going to come illegally, then please at least come better informed. And that's a lot of the messaging we do so that they can really think about what their decision is going to be and not put their hands or their lives in the hands of a smuggler who's going to not really care for them.
Well, that's another complaint, though, of the volunteers that the border has changed. And one of the ways it's changed is it's funneling people coming across illegally into more dangerous areas.
Well, you have to understand our enforcement stance here is we have to enforce the borders. The smugglers are the ones that are taking these folks out into these extreme desolate areas. And unfortunately, they're lying to them. They're leaving them out there. And you know, if they start falling behind, they start yelling at them. They'll start beating them and they'll leave them behind.
Yeah.
And if you're a female, there's a risk that, you know, you could be raped. And those are the realities that we want folks to understand and know before coming.
Because you're the people that find them.
Yes.
Which can't be, I mean, you have to be pretty hard-hearted. I mean, there's young kids on occasion, as you say, women who've been raped. You talked about putting on your other hat. That's got to be tough.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the Tucson sector began training their own EMTs in 2002. You know, right now we have over 200 EMTs, the emergency medical technicians, just here in the Tucson sector alone. You know, we have 10 paramedics. We have our search, trauma, and rescue team here. So we had to take a stance, a proactive stance, to train our agents because we're going to be the first ones to respond. But what I will say is, if anything, if anybody finds themselves in distress, the very first thing you need to do is call 911 because that's we're going to radio also to call 911 if we find somebody in distress and that level of care needs to be advanced or pushed higher. We know we're going to need to seek further medical treatment for these individuals.
That's Stephen Passmant, Acting Special Operations Supervisor in the Border Patrol's Tucson Sector. Agent Passmant, Steve, thank you.
Hey, thank you. I just want to say, you know, I welcome and encourage the communication and cooperation for us, the Tucson Sector, with any agency or organization to better serve and protect those within the nation's borders. So, and I encourage folks to reach out to local stations if they have questions. We want to build bonds here. And the only way to do that is really to call, develop that dialogue. So I encourage that.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.